Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
On this week's Big Tech Show, when will cars safely drive themselves on our streets? And who in Ireland is providing the technology to help them do that? We talk to one of the country's biggest automotive autonomy entrepreneurs.
I have BMW Drive Assist in my own vehicle, and it is much, much safer because we are all prone to distraction, especially when we're on the motorway from Limerick to Dublin, for example. We've all been there where you actually forgot a whole section of the road. So I would say if you take it from a safety perspective, and it does allow you to kind of relax.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Troy and Hurling Show with me, Michael Varney. And this week I'm joined by Eddie Brennan and John Milan once again to look back on another weekend of hurling action, which saw Clare take league honours for just the fifth time in their history. Eddie, I suppose when you look back on the game and the significance of it and the importance of it, what do you think this victory will do for Brian Lowen's banner? This is fifth year in charge, first piece of silverware. This is going to mean a lot to Clare going forward, maybe this summer and in future summers.
Yeah, it will. Absolutely, Michael. And look, I know they had lull periods in a match, and we always forget that. Sometimes you expect dominance from a team, but you forget, I suppose, I was just thinking about that. You have 15 other players pulling in the opposite direction. So everyone has their periods, and Clare almost went to sleep on it, but ultimately they were able to deliver, you know, good blows at the right time. Two big punches landed either side of half time, and for them as a group, I think the one thing, and maybe I suppose myself, I wasn't really looking at this, but like a little dilemma now coming out of this. Where does Tony Kelly, having played no matches, fit into this? And I know it's a big statement, right? He is what he is. But the reality is, and I thought this coming along, like we were talking about Shane O'Donnell and bringing McInerney back in, that team that took to the fields have got Clare to this league final, and probably with the help of some of the more senior fellas, like Shane O'Donnell had a huge impact for a fella that hasn't hurled a match. He looks so sharp. But Lowen has evolved his team nicely. He has built a really good young bunch of lads. And like anything, year on year, he was probably looking at, what do we need to do this year? We need to get to a Munster final. We need to try to beat, you know, win a Munster final. But also, as a goal, your job as a manager is probably to build the future, to say, right, in 4 or 5 years' time, what does this group look like? And I think that's one aspect that I probably didn't really look at until the last couple of weeks with Brian Lowen. He has really built a fine young squad here now. And just two little fellas, not being in any way disrespectful, but the two smaller guys in stature, like Rogers now has become central. I know John, and we've all observed this for a while, and marry him up with the likes of Reedy, who I am a fan of for quite some time now. And the two of them, Jesus, they're dangerous. Like they're lethal, the two of them. I looked at Rogers there Saturday night. I don't think he fumbles a ball. Everything he collected down low, these little stick passes, so for Clare, go back to your question, Michael, I won't say it's a landmark moment, but in the evolution of Brian Lowen's tenure, this is important, because I think another thing like that, you know, a friend of mine from Clare rang me on the way home and he said, Jesus, he said, if we had to have left that behind us, we'd have been in a bad place heading into Ennis in 2 weeks' time. It would have been a big, blow to them. Whereas now it's quite the opposite. And they just have to manage that and realise, look, park up the league and move on. But they're in good health and Brian Lowen will be delighted with that. You knew by him Saturday. This could be the little piece now, because what he has now is he has a bunch of lads, 32, 33 lads, absolutely horsing for road now. They will want to be playing against Limerick in 2 weeks' time.
I have to say, I think they won it in the perfect scenario. As the game was going on, I was kind of thinking, oh, this is starting to look a bit like Waterford and Cork 2 years ago in the league final. where Waterford are going to bang in a load of goals. It's going to be a mad hoopla about it, and maybe they won't be able to deliver on it. The fact that it came back and Kilkenny made it very tight, and there were a few squeaky ball moments with the penalty and that, I actually think they won it in the perfect scenario. Also interesting on your point there. I'd say, I know he's there 5 years, but I'd say Brian Lowen is there for the long haul. I'd say he's in that job as long as he wants it. And managers can be very short-sighted and only look at, you know, this summer or whatever, but he definitely looks like he's looking with a bigger vision in mind. John, just break down some of the key kind of moments the other night. There were several of them to digest. Maybe the first half was a bit of an arm wrestle, but a real classic second half when it opened up.
Yeah, I suppose the first 15, 20 minutes was slow, was an awful lot of mistakes. Going into the second quarter of the first half, Kilkenny were very, very wasteful of some great opportunities to push out the lead. They had an opportunity to push out the lead by 4 or 5 points. And if Kilkenny get ahead by 4 or 5 points, you know, that's kind of a healthy kind of lead for Kilkenny. Missed a couple of frees. Mullen was a bit unlucky with a couple of scores. And then, look, Clare got a lifeline. The goal came at a perfect time, just before half-time. They got hit for the goal. And then, particularly in the first half, Mullen was going through. And I think the video analysis will be very, very interesting from a Kilkenny point of view this week when they dissect the game and break it down. You know, very unlike Kilkenny. You know, a lad is in a better position. Mullen could have gave it into Billy Ryan. And that almost certainly could have been a goal. Then in the aftermath of that, then just after halftime, the other goal came. And again, video analysis will play a massive part. Reedy got the ball. He did a 1-2 with Shane O'Donnell. And then he offloaded to David Sherrod. And from my viewing, I don't think there was one or two Kilkenny players didn't track the run. Very unlike Kilkenny, didn't track the run, didn't chase back, and really just took off and he offloaded, and then they got the other goal.
Mullen, I just want to jump in on that. Sorry for a second. I was there at that end, and what Clare actually done was they pulled the entire Kilkenny defence to both sidelines and left one inside. Really just done a quick little 1-2 exchange. And here was Fitzgerald, with the only ball he got into his hand, I think, up to that. But they had the whole Kilkenny defence, like, they were stacked right out. So, like, I think it was only a one-on-one, maybe close to goal. And they start moving away to allow Fitzgerald, the line, to get to goal. And Richie Reid done well to stay with him. But it was a lovely move. I just had, like, if you get a chance afterwards, or someone like the video analysis you're talking about, to pause as that ball is landing or coming to David Reedy when he makes that run, you just look at how apart the whole Kilkenny defence is like to stay compact.
Yeah, and look, I've seen it the last day, even against Tipperary, you know, David Fitzgerald, and I touched on it the last day, Peter Duggan, they're nearly becoming, you know, they're an outlet, but at the same time, they're there to be a decoy as well, where they can play the ball into other areas where they'll get an awful lot of joy out of. But again, I go back to it then, like, you know, Mossy Keown done excellent when he came on. The third goal then was a big changing point, was a big turning point. Aidan McCarty, lads, I mean, he didn't start against Tipperary, and you were just waiting for that performance to come. You knew within Aidan McCarty that performance was coming, and to score 2-10 the weekend, I mean, he was magnificent. From a Kilkenny point of view, I think they're going to have to look at number 6, lads, because Rogers got an awful lot of joy. Like, he was responsible probably for definitely probably 1-3, 1-4, and that has to be the worry for Derek Ling now. What does he do? Does he roll the dice and say to himself, right, I'm going to throw Lawler out? I think he's one of two options. I think he can either... I don't think he'll put Blanchfield in there because I don't think Blanchfield's distribution is top-notch either. I think he's one of two options. He can either go with a big line of big men across the middle with Blanchfield, Lawler and Paddy Deegan, and, you know, go with three fast guys in the inside line. Or... I think I was listening to your podcast, Bernie, and I think it was Adrian Adrian Ronan touched on it. He said he mentioned it, and it really struck home to me about putting Mullen back centre back, and I think that could be an option. Now look, he's going so well up in the forwards, but if you have Mullen centre back, now all of a sudden Mullen becomes, you know, Mullen will shore up that back line. He's a good distributor of the ball. He can also be, you know, he can also pop up with two or three points from centre back. And I think that may be something that Derek Ling might look at. And I go back to even Clare, you being touched on, where Clare going to put Tony Kelly, Eddie? And you might think I'm mad, right? John Conlon, right? Who's going to be the successor to John Conlon, centre back? You might think I'm nuts. I wouldn't rule out Tony Kelly going centre back. Could you imagine being the opposition, right? And Tony Kelly being centre back. Now you're scratching your head saying, right, Jesus, what are we going to do with Tony Kelly centre back? And I take it back to the game against Kilkenny last year, and I touched on it that maybe they could put Kelly back centre back, and then you're throwing the question back to the opposition where, you know, the likes of Mikey Butler saying, well, geez, are we going to put Mikey Butler up centre forward? Or even you could put Kelly wing back. And that's the way the game is going. You're seeing it now, lads, with Cotton O'Neill going back, wing back. You're seeing that Declan Hannan has had to be transformed from the forwards into the backs. And the game is evolving. And I think that's something that Lowen might actually even look at going forward for the rest of his championship, going into the championship. That, you know, you have to be realistic here. It's 4 weeks out of five. Is John Conlon going to last 4 weeks out of five? So there is the option now of possibly putting Kelly back there. And there's not a reliance on Kelly to go into the forward line anymore. And I don't think that pressure will be there. They now know that, Clare now know that they can win a game without Tony Kelly. So they have the luxury of moving Kelly into different positions. Yeah, there's
two points on that, John. I think you're right. The concern is now, for Kilkenny, is the dilemma is, do you go, like, to perform some radical surgery on the team now is very, very, you know, you can't, you're kind of, you'd like to think that arriving to championship, you have it relatively settled, what we're doing and what we're about. You don't want to have to do that. And it is a question. It is that you're right. It's a valid question now. But I suppose it's radical now. You're kind of going, Jesus, are you throwing, you know, are you really, that's somewhere you don't want to go 3 weeks out from championship. And the other thing is, like we spoke about Tony Kelly, and I know people are kind of going, everyone generally, when you say that, they go, you're mad, not play Tony Kelly. But here's the facts, right? We don't know what he done, right? O'Donnell looked brilliantly sharp. He caused consternation in the Kilkenny defence. And I thought Hughie Lawler done really well in one-on-one situations to contain him. But he was still a very unsettling presence. So the thing is, right, how fit is Tony Kelly? How sharp is he? But can you imagine, just say, they go out against Limerick or whoever it is, Cork the week after, and you can bring on Tony Kelly with 20 minutes to go, fresh energy, because that's his game. His game is energy. Now the game is starting to slow up a tiny bit. Lads are getting fatigued. And you have Kelly with the freedom of the park to pop up here and there and be that energy. Jesus, isn't that a perfect recipe? Now, we're not blowing the hot air into Clare and saying they're world beaters, they're going to win that. Nothing like that. But from a Brian Lowen perspective, he has lots of young energy on the pitch. Obviously now, the key to everything is your finishers. So can you imagine, just say for the first two matches, you mightn't start Tony Kelly. He might be fit enough to start. But imagine if you can bring him with 20 minutes to go and get him in there when the match is starting to break down and he gets to see where the opposition are at and what they're doing. Like, it could be a massive Limerick type thing that, you know, they have done. So,
but you even look at the players they offloaded off the bench there the other day. I mean, five starters. I started last year: Rory Hayes, Shane O'Donnell, Shanahar. McInerney.
Jesus, yeah.
I mean, there was one more that came on.
Shane Amore as well, yeah.
Shane Amore. I mean, there's five unbelievable players that are springing off the bench to go.
Loads of energy.
To go and finish the game.
Yeah, it's very interesting. A couple of points that you made there. Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell are different animals in the sense of coming back from injury and not playing games.
Yeah.
Kelly has generally been at his best when he's got a consistent run and played games. Like, I remember him coming back from the ankle before, and it took him a couple of months to get back to speed. Like, O'Donnell is a freak, lads. What O'Donnell is doing is freakish. Like, you can't, like, I'd say you could count on one hand the number of lads in the country that'd be able to do that. So I wouldn't, like, the fact that Kelly wasn't listed in the 26 the other night, I'd find it hard to see that he's going to be thrown into the starting team for Limerick. Just, and I think, like, it's not the ideal scenario. They'd love to have him ready to go, but I think they'll have to kind of ease him in. And 15 or 20 minutes at the end of a game could kind of suit him. On John's point as well, about Kelly ending up in the backs, like, listen, sure, Brian Lowen was mad to put John Conlon back in the backs. He ended up as all-star centre back last year. So you just never know. Like, when your legs start to go as a forward, I'd say, man, from your experience, you use your head, maybe you can go back in a deeper kind of lying position, use your head a bit more. Could Kelly do as much damage and get 3 or 4 points from centre back or wing back? Potentially, he probably could.
But Michael, or fairly, even go back to even on their own puck outs. Could you imagine Kelly being wing back or say centre back, right? Maybe this might happen this year. We don't know. Do you imagine even on their own puck outs, Kelly coming short, he's drawing one or two men towards him? Or if he does get the short puck out and he goes past one or two men, all right, the whole thing opens up. And he's a great distributor of the ball. He can score points from 70, 80 yards. He can solo with the ball. He can offload the ball. So I most certainly won't rule it out. And Jesus, we done it ourselves with Ken McGrath. We converted Ken from centre forward back to centre back, and he was a revelation. So don't rule it out. I'm telling you, don't rule it out, because Clare now have enough shooters up top to kill any team now, you know, when you go through it, you know. So as Eddie touched on, where are they going to put Kelly? So I wouldn't be ruling it out, absolutely not.
It's going to be very interesting to see. Eddie, just on everything we've said, Clare, the kind of nearly clear number one contenders now for the All-Ireland, outside of number one contenders for Limerick Strawn, shall we say.
Yeah, they do, and they've earned that. Look, they've earned it. They were the best team in the league, and there's no, you know, we've spoken about that. They were the form team coming in, and they won us. You know, yeah, there was a few little blemishes there on Saturday night, but overall they were slicker, they were tidier, they were economical, they were very efficient, and the mark for me is, look, 3 goal chances presented. They converted all 3 of them. For the first one especially, like, it was the speed at which Rogers spotted the gap. And once the fumble came, I mean, again, I think Kilkenny, you know, the few little fumbles and dropping ball cost him. Like, and there was a missed rise on that. Rogers was in the flash. But what's critical here was the timing of the pass out to McCarthy. He let McCarthy get time to plant his feet. He gave him that extra 2-3 yards of space that he needed to pick his spot. And again, you know, you say, who was actually marking him? Because they weren't tight enough on him. Like, and yeah, I suppose the danger is with me or Rogers coming like that at the goal, you're conscious of the goal, but they look to be cover. But then the second, the 2 goals in the second half, they were just 2 training ground moves. They were 2 strike moves that pulled in all the Kilkenny defence, a little looped run. And the key to it is that you get on the secondary ball. Once that ball goes to grounds, there was winners, and they were getting it up a lot of the time. And That was the difference. So they're in good health going into the championship. But, like, look, we can talk about here till the cows come home. They've earned the right. They've won the league fairly and squarely. They were the best team in the league, in my view. And going into the championship, they're in a great place. However, they still have to go and deliver now. That's the thing. And this is where the real quality teams do that. They have to go and stack it up now. They have to go along and deliver a performance against Limerick, and they have to get to a Munster final. And unfortunately, whether we like it or not, and I'm not trying to let the air out of their tyres here, but until the business ends the championship, that's where they're going to have to cash in. That's where they really have to cash in. And look, it's a positive. They're in good order. They are a good, you know, we've spoken highly of them. But obviously now they have to go and stack that up. They have to stack it up in an absolute battleground, and then come out of that unscathed. And I think John's point is valid there. Like, low now, maybe that's something you have to consider, is that there's a time there where, you know, you don't start Condon maybe, and then bring him in, you know, because that kind of week on week is very, very taxing on players. And that's where fatigue is going to be an impact on him. But look, would you like to be, as a manager, sitting in Brian Lowen's position? I think it's 5 years of real hard work. Very, very tough going, and he has built them into a really good place. They're as good a place as they've ever been now, facing into a championship.
You mentioned about not wanting to take the air out of their tyres, but I reckon Brian Lowen, as the air got out of their tyres now at this stage, I thought it was kind of funny even when Conor Cleary was, you know, giving the cup. Jarlath Burns, and that's the second week in a row, he's done this magnificent speech, kind of lauding the captain. And, you know, the crowd were getting riled up. And Cleary, I don't know if he broke into a smile even while he was lifting the cup. It was very reserved. It was very careful not to make it look like we're losing the run of ourselves or anything here, definitely. I think they were particularly kind of careful in that respect. But Mull, like, it was interesting to hear Shane O'Donnell in his interview after, he said about winning the league in 2016. He said, "We would have taken losing the league final in 2016 to have won the first round of Munster. Waterford beat them all, ends up in the first round of Munster when they played a couple of weeks there." So, like, they're under no illusions about what's coming around the corner as well, Mull, realistically. Like, they have Limerick coming to Ennis for, like, a game. Like, it's an absolute game for the ages. Like, what a way for the championship to start. But the league title will be quickly forgotten. Yeah, the league title will be quickly forgotten if they don't win in Cusack Park in 2 weeks' time.
Well, he did. Well, I disagree with him now. He said that, you know, they'd give it all up they'd give up the league title win for if they were to win the first round of the Munster Championship. I think, you know, I think he's probably, I wouldn't say he's discrediting the league, but that's probably kind of talk coming back to him. He's only kind of coming back into the fold. But I can 100% see where he's come from. Like, I mean, they have a difficult start. You know, they play Limerick. You know, there's every possibility that they could get turned over by Limerick. I mean, let's be honest with you, like, Limerick are still number one, and there's strong possibility Limerick will probably go to Ennis and win that match, and then Clare have to go down 7 days later down to Cork and play Cork, which is going to be very, very difficult.
So, a year in the balance, it's mad.
You know,
lads, how quickly can it turn? Like, you could be league champions and cock of the walk at the minute. In 3 weeks' time, they could be nearly out of the championship. It's mad.
Limerick
love to be the ones to say that to them. Wouldn't Limerick love? Yeah. No, have your
on the flip side of that, you look at Kilkenny. And Kilkenny, you know, 2 weeks' time, they get off, they kickstart their championship against Antrim. And what did they play with? Westmeath then, so they can ease their way into the Leinster Championship, you know. So Clare don't have that luxury, but most certainly, you know, if you're Brian Lowen now, you're the Clare team, you're going into training. You can't wait for training tomorrow night. You can't wait for training tomorrow night. And one thing O'Donnell said in his interview in the aftermath of the match is the connection between the supporters and this team has never been as good. Like, you know, going back a couple of years ago, was there really a connection between the supporters and even the style of play that we're playing with? Like, Clare now, I think the supporters now are really on board. It was a massive crowd there Saturday night. And I just thought that was interesting for O'Donnell to say that. And look, from a Clare point of view, I think Lowen will be saying, you know what, lads? We're going after Limerick, and, you know, if Limerick are going to be beaten this year, it might be that they might come on stuck in Munster. And, you know, if the way of Brian Lowen, and he'll be saying to his team, look, we'll put Limerick on the back foot. We'll go and win the first match and let Limerick worry about Tipperary the following week, and a fresh Tipperary team coming into the Gaelic grounds, throwing the kitchen sink at Limerick. So look, from a Clare point of view, they're in a fabulous position, but, you know, there is that small bit of caution there that, you know, not to get carried away, but, you know, to remind themselves that, you know, there's a tough 7 days ahead with Limerick and Cork just around the corner.
And what, just the last point I'll make on that, John, if you look at the makeup of this Clare squad, they have a lovely balance. Like, look at the age profile of their leaders. You know, they're all just at a real good age. Then down along with the freshness of all those young lads coming in, and, you know, you have an All-Ireland winning minor team at the back of all of this as well coming through. So the algorithm and the future is looking nice there, because they're bringing through the players. There's obviously good alignment with everything that's going on there. But, like, the age profile, you have probably O'Donnell, Kelly, David McInerney, Conlon, Colin Malone, Peter Duggan, like, they're all at a good age. They've experienced the tough days, so they have the injection of youth now coming behind them, and you just say, this is their time. Like, and that's the one thing probably Lowen is banging through to him. But just the last little smirk is, Jesus, isn't Munster just horrible in terms of you're coming in high as a kite now, and in 6 days your championship could be in tatters. Like, it's just, it's mad, really, that Clare, you know, that's the possibility. The same for Limerick. Limerick could, just say Clare beat Limerick, Tip then are coming in, licking their lips, heading to Limerick, knowing that, hey lads, we can deliver a massive, massive blow to the All-Ireland champions. The flip side of that is that Limerick could, you know, give Clare a little reminder, and then, you know, a Tip the following week, Clare then have to head to Páirc Uí Chaoimh, knowing that their championship season is on the line. It's just, it's brilliant from a sports point of view, but by God, it can change so quickly in 7 days, lads. It's you just say in the broader scheme of things.
That's why I take you back to last week, lads. Like you think of what Clare and Kilkenny went at Saturday night, and you know, you go back to the Limerick Kilkenny game. It was chalk and cheese, and be under no illusions. And I don't think Brian Lowen or his team will be under no illusions. Limerick are going to come and they're going to throw the kitchen sink at Clare. And I think these Clare players, they realise that they're going to have to up it even more if they're going to overturn Limerick in 2 weeks' time.
Hey, save your championship preview for 10 days' time, boys. I know it's hard not to get excited about, but just a point on Brian Lowen, that you mentioned there about what O'Donnell said. I think one of the reasons why, like, Brian Lowen does not come under any real criticism inside of Clare for that direct reason that you mentioned there, John, how he has knitted the whole thing together, how he's helped, even by all accounts, in the background financially as regards getting the county's finances kind of under control.
There's no talk
about Cathair Lowen or anything now. Everything is as smooth as you would like. Like a couple of years ago, like it was, like, let's call it a spade. It was probably like a media dream, all the different things that were coming out, bad things here, you know, development not finished here, finances not in order, this type of thing. Whereas everything is so smooth now. And that's why, you know, we might ask, oh, does Brian Lowen need a trophy? Yeah, it definitely helped the other night. But within Clare, no one within Clare would have been saying, oh, Lowen needs a trophy, because they know kind of what he's done and they know how solid and united the whole kind of thing is now. Paul, you want to come in there?
Yeah, and you know, let's be honest about it. You'd hear some of the former players and even former managers, the obstacles that were in his way as well, you know, when he was starting off, and that he had to overcome those obstacles. And I think the Clare supporters, you know, realise the challenges that he did face. And I think after 4 or 5 years, we're quick to say, oh Jesus, you know what, this is going to be his last year. And I think Clare supporters, no matter what happens in the championship, I think it's key that they hold on to Lowen for as long as they can, particularly with this minor crop coming through. And you know, I'll even take you back to the first year where things didn't go Brian Lowen's way. And I think, was it John Conlon or one of the players? I think John Conlon and Tony Kelly went to Lowen themselves and said, you know what, Brian, we need to change things up, or we need to go in a, you know, we need to tweak things, or we need to, you know, go a different direction. And he was very open-minded to say, you know what, I take your opinions on board. And he took it on board and he was willing to change it up. And that's the sign of a very, very, very good manager. And you could even see the way Shane O'Donnell spoke so highly of him in the aftermath of that match the other night.
I'd say he put a fire under you as well, boys. If you needed someone to motivate you like that, that's why I think they'll be taken down to size in a good kind of way in the next couple of days, and it'll be all roads focusing on Limerick coming to town. But just last one, I'll put it to the two-y. We haven't mentioned him yet. I don't know how we haven't mentioned him, but Eddie, would you like to be facing into Adam Hogan in a big championship game?
I'd love it. I just watched him off the ball. I was watching what he was doing. Himself and Cody had a right good battle. And look, Owen Cody, I have huge admiration for him. But I suppose what Cody, in fairness, he didn't shy back from either, but he's learning to deal with your type, Michael. And myself and Mullers were well used to that. These little kind of a pest of a cornerback, and he's annoying, but he's everything you want in a defender. He's in your face. He's like, they had a good tangle in the first half, right? And Cody, well, I give him a good dunt, like, and he was on the ground. He picked himself up ginger enough and he started pissing him on into the linesman and different things. You could see Dunbar's were almost telling him, well, you're at it as well, boss. So jog on. And in fairness, he got on with it. But he got a yellow card, I think, early doors. But it's the kind of fella you love, but it's education for Owen Cody. And I think even, you know, Billy Drennan got a flavour of what man's hurling is like the weekends, you know, the physicality, the dynamic that goes on off the ball. And that's all part of the game, lads. And you keep it within the rules. You don't get the 11 commandments. You don't get caught. But, Jesus, when you get more established and experienced, you know how to deal with lads like that. I'd love that challenge, but, you know, because he brings the best out of you. He tests you everywhere. But what I really loved about him is coming down the throat of that match when the game was in the melting pot, is he brought out a couple of balls. And he just reminded me of Brian Lowen, because Brian Lowen attacked the ball at full tilt. And John Lowe, they're the worst kind of defenders because they commit wholeheartedly to the ball. They see not knowing the ball. And the risk, you know, is done with the reward. So you say, well, if it slips in, oh God, he looks terrible. But he's so committed and so assured, he brings out that ball the whole time. And he's able to manufacture the Owen Larkin type free as well, I see a few times. But he's good. He is really good. And imagine to say that he's keeping... what's your man that they brought
Rory
on?
Hayes.
Rory Hayes. He's keeping Rory Hayes off the team, lads. Rory Hayes, to me, was quality. So they have a nice crew there, but this lad is deadly. Like, he's brilliant. And like, he got a little school in there last year off Galan at one stage. By God, round two will be good.
But Eddie, you wouldn't like, I used to love an all fist pump, but there's nothing worse, Eddie. There's absolutely nothing worse. A cornerback or a wing back is coming out. He's the bursting out and he's giving a fist pump to the crowd.
And then he gives you a little nudge on the way back.
And then he gives another one and another one. I mean, that's demoralizing stuff for a corner forward. You're saying, oh, Jesus Christ. You're saying, right, am I getting the curly finger here now? If that happens, your immediate thought is, right, I have to win the next ball. Like, if you're
it's psychological
whatever forward is on Adam Holmey, your immediate thought is, right, I have to win the next ball. I have to win a free or I have to get a score to quieten this lad.
Yeah, and a few times he's done that from a deep position and he passed out. And as you said there, it's horrible. When you see a back's number, oh, you hate that. You're not worse than looking at a defender's number and he heading off the balls.
In fairness, Eddie, there was enough lads looking at you, whether you were wearing multicogs or studs from well far back. So it's okay for you to be looking at a defender's number from time to time. But it's funny you mentioned Lowen there, Eddie. It's gas. Hogan winning a ball or winning a free has a great significance now, doesn't it? It's a big thing. It's a big crowd lifter. It's a big morale booster. I'd say Owen Cody got his joy when he was away from him the other night too. And when Hogan went out and followed him, he probably quietened him. But just on Kilkenny, Eddie, we'll probably focus on Kilkenny a bit. Like, obviously, we haven't mentioned that they were missing TJ Reid. I think he picked up a hamstring strain, I think, the other night. Very, very rare injury, even for him to have. This was probably a fair eye-opening to maybe what life without TJ is going to be like as well. Even maybe potentially struggling to win that primary ball. Having some free taking issues maybe that we've bemoaned other counties having. I'd imagine that penalty would have been slotted away as well. It was an eye opener to what the future is going to be, I'd say.
It is. Look, that's the reality. It's evolution. The more than if you would have even said to the Clare lads 2 years ago that they'd be staying into a championship and not seeing Tony Kelly and maybe he won't start the first couple of Munster matches, whatever. But yeah, I think it's hugely significant. His presence on the pitch as well. Like, I mean, to be fair, look, and I'm not going to criticise the chap. He's new on the scene. He's learned his trade. But if you're Conor Cleary and you're facing into Billy Drennan as opposed to TJ Reid, you can breathe a small bit easier. You can impose yourself probably a little bit more physical. Because, look, to be fair to Billy Drennan, he hasn't got the experience to deal with someone, big war dog like Conor Cleary, who's well used to manning that position, not afraid to go out the pitch. But I will say, look, significantly, lads, there was an absolutely horrific swirling breeze in Thurles the other night. And I touched on this in the article, like the Kilkenny players didn't seem to adjust to it at all, or they couldn't seem to get it right because they'd under warm up into that end. And like they were hitting balls into that end over the bar. So that's where they needed to measure that a small bit. And you'd say, look, a few of them were floaty ones and the wind took them and they adjusted. And then it went out on the other side as well. But you need guys to step up, and that doesn't happen overnight. And that's the challenge in front of Derek Ling. I think Derek Ling, you know, this is something that's maybe forgotten a little bit. Like his job, as much as I said about earlier for Brian Lowen, like Derek Ling has to be given time here and bed down his guys. You know, can we expect someone like Billy Drennan, fresh in off a 20s panel, to step in there and fill TJ Reid's boots? No, we can't. It's just an unrealistic expectation. that guy needs, you know, plenty of work, plenty of experience. Every day he goes out, he's going to learn. The only area that I think he really, you know, needs to get going, because he has the skill, he has all the rest of it. Had he been taking that penalty, he possibly would have slotted it too. But it's just the physical engagements. And I think even for Kilkenny, one area that I think they really need to look at is like the quality of the runs. Like I looked at Shanahan. Shanahan made a run in the second half and he kind of weaves right and then he just swerved back left, all in the one kind of movement. And that's coaching. That's like Kilkenny, whereas Kilkenny couldn't seem to shake off when they made those runs and they made a bit of space, but they couldn't seem to shake off the defenders. And that comes through, like you said, decoy running one way, then running the other. But look, the old qualities from Kilkenny are there. Right? They never say die. They dug in. When Clare opened the door, a small bit of good fortune, a small bit of better hands, and we might well have got something out of that match. And it would have been a smash and grab. We'd have took it. We'd have absolutely took it. But I think the Kilkenny qualities that we associate with them that are absolutely so admirable and they're just what you want in a team, they're getting us so far. They're not getting us over the line, unfortunately. And that's where those extra little 2 or 3% that Derek Ling needs to find are what we need to get. And like you said there, we're going to have to be able to... That was a great challenge for the rest of the guys to say, look, we're minus TJ today, lads. Let's go for it. Let's see where you are. And ultimately, is it massive for Kilkenny to that defeat? No, I felt falling short by a point or two in that match wouldn't be the end of the world. But however, there's a few little things that need to be fixed, you know, and they'll see where they are. But they'll learn a little bit from that. But I suppose the concern is that when the pressure comes on, you know, our default seems to be similar. There's a pattern emerging there in finals. And it's something that, you know, I don't have the answers and I'm certainly not standing here today criticising that or throwing the snowballs in, because that's the challenge. How can we fix those?
I'd stick with you on this one, Eddie. Like, we're a couple of weeks away from championship now. Will there be a change at six? Like, the midfield looks in a bit of flux again. Now, I thought Keane Kenny foraged hard and has probably changed his role a good bit and was actually winning a good bit of dirty ball. Jordan Molloy probably didn't have his maybe best hour. Like, as you said there, like, what are the lines of the pitch that you really want to have nailed down? It's probably, you know, 5 to 9, really. That's your kind of middle kind of diamond. They haven't gotten over the line against Limerick in big championship games the last couple of years with those similar types of players, or even, we'll say, Richie Reid playing at centre-back. I know he was playing at wing-back the other night. What changes do you expect maybe over the next few weeks or months?
I'm going to throw a spanner in the works. Eddie, give me your 2 to 7 for Kilkenny. And I want your centre-back.
You probably need 2 Paddy Deegans, ideally. I think he what energy brings. I think Shane Murphy has done okay. I think he has done enough to be included in the starting team. I think for me, like, I'd stick with Huey at fullback. I think he gives you too much security there. And lads, don't underestimate, I was there watching off the ball, the space he was left in with O'Donnell was cruel for a cornerback. We'd love it. And he'd done well on him. He'd done well to hold him. He won a few frees off. He committed to being out front. I'm going to be a little bit radical, and if Mikey Butler is fit, I'd be throwing him back in. I think it's himself and Tommy Welch for that other spot. I think he has to go with Shane Murphy. And then out in the half line, I think you'd be sticking with Blanchfield. You might see six is, I don't know, is Deegan at his best there, or is he at his best at 7? I'm not so sure. In front of him, I do like Keane Kenny. I think he has done well. He has evolved his role, and I think his work rate is... Jordan Molloy is a young guy. He has to be given the benefit of doubt. He can't be expected to be just absolutely polished straight away. 7 then, I don't know. I'm betwixt and between, because Richie Reid has the experience there. But again, you know, in the crunch moments, I suppose, as a whole, our defensive unit is not getting it done. I think it's up the field is where the issue is. I think if our
Eddie
forward...
Eddie Brennan, give me your number 6 for Kilkenny to win the All-Ireland in 2024.
I think I'd go with Paddy Deegan there. I think it's his distribution. He gets on so much ball. He's brave. He catches ball. It's just then his distribution. I think what's letting Kilkenny down is our distribution from the backs is that we're not hitting grass. We're still putting it down as a 50-50. And that's down to the forwards maybe making the runs too early. You look at all the teams now. Ideal ball. hitting the grass 20 yards in front of a forward that they run onto it in space. And while Paddy is giving good ball up and other lads are, that ball needs to be lower, it needs to be hitting the grass. And at times they've done that well the other day.
You're on about TJ, Verney. I think the two Mikeys were a massive, massive loss the weekend. And you go back to the game up in Ennis, Mikey Butler, you know, he curtailed the influence of Rodgers when they played up in Ennis. And you'd be thinking if Mikey Butler was there the weekend, Mikey Butler probably would have went out and followed Rodgers out the field. Mikey Carey offers speed as well, touch tight defender. He was a big loss.
Sorry,
where's Connor Brown, Eddie? Is Connor Brown?
Yeah, he's away. I know.
He's away.
Finito. I just that's their ace actually. Probably it's either to finish mine. I would go Shane Murphy, Huey Lawler, Mikey Butler, Blanchfields, and then it's either Diego or Mikey Carey. Probably that. I think if you have a fully fit, I think that gives you a good mix. I think then, you know, where you put Richie Reid, I'm not so sure. You could have him, because he's good to read play, he's good to mop up ball. But, and I thought he'd done okay on Fitzgerald the other night. He relatively curtailed him, but the quality in Fitzgerald was he got two balls, he scored 1-1. And he's a hard fella to handle, lads. And I thought Reid done okay, but I just think a fully fit, really sharp Mikey Carey probably gives us dynamic physicality and, you know, it's hard though, because you're kind of going, there's question marks, and yet you know what the boys are going to bring. But like I said there, whether we like it or not, and it's not a criticism, but from a Kilkenny viewpoint, I made the point earlier, we're not getting the job done, and the how we fix that is the big dilemma going into championship. Because we will get there, we'll be very close, but it's just that smart to get us over the line. And I look at how clear for the 2 second half goals, just pull the Kilkenny defence, stretch them. Decoy runs were central to that. You have to get lads to understand that sometimes your movement is going to be very unselfish. You're not getting the ball. And to get lads to understand that, because good players want to be on the ball. But to me, players have to understand that maybe sometimes it's to create an open somewhere else. And that's where I think Kilkenny are just a little bit shy at the moment.
Mull, I'll just come to you really quickly before we go to our highlighted league. Just your thoughts, a couple of kind of talking points that came out of the game. One was the Adrian Mullen shoulder that ended up in a yellow card, and the other was Clare's black card for Mark Rodgers. Just give me your initial thoughts on them. Now, I have to say, when I looked at Mullen's initially, I thought, oh, and then I looked at it back and it was like, no, that's on the money. And nearly John Donnelly coming in from the other side as a result, pushing Malone into him, nearly made it look like he hit his head. The black card for me was in no way a black card, but what were your own thoughts?
Yeah, look, Mullen's one look. You can be unlucky. Whatever way you pick up the challenge from whatever the angle is, or from whatever the TV camera, look, you can look at it two ways. You can see he connected with the head or he connected with the shoulder. I thought it was very much he was going in leading with shoulder to shoulder. And look, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The one that really annoys me is the one where a lad is eyeing up a lad and there's a lad coming towards you. I swallowed my tongue. A fella, you know, he probably didn't mean anything for it, but I was so untrue and he met me with a shoulder and it was got me right into the chest. I think that one is a dangerous tackle and probably warrants a red card. But when it's shoulder to shoulder...
And Johnny Murphy called it at the time. Johnny Murphy done that. So, and I'd love to know, like I know when linesmen are consulted, they can give, but I often had it on the sideline. You question something, said, did you not see that? He said, I can't tell that. So I'm a little bit unclear with the rules in relation to a submission from a linesman.
I think you have to be asked for it. Because
I saw the linesman flagging to Johnny Murphy. Do you remember was there an overcarry or trick?
Yeah, Daryl Owen threw it up in Cottage.
The linesman flagged that. So, like, what are the rules? Like, they have to be very clear. As I understood it, it's like you said, Michael, they can be consulted and say, did you see something there? No, I didn't, or whatever. But, like, he's like, and it's good. Don't get me wrong. I think it's good that they're interacting with each other. I think that's good because a ref can see everything. But the question is then is around process, because it obviously changes Mullen's impact or his you know, it does. When you get a yellow,
it did, but it completely changed his impact in the game. He changed points back to that point.
But I think the commotion that, you know, resulted in the aftermath can have a knock-on effect with the referees. Right, I bet that they showed the yellow card and calm things down. The penalty, yeah, look, that wasn't a penalty for very, very soft. And I think Rodgers was very unlucky. Came with the flick, but just as John Donnelly, just as he was falling, his leg kind of got tangled with Rodgers. So it wasn't really a trip for that matter. But look, outside of those two calls, I think Johnny Murphy had a reasonably good game. Honestly, I've seen Johnny in the past, and he can be whistle happy. You know, he can blow for an awful lot of frees. But I thought Saturday night, I thought he added to the occasion. I thought he carried himself well, and I thought he had a good game.
It's funny.
Yeah, I think Kenny might have got a little advantage there at times, but to be fair, I do think they do. And then look, the balance of it. Look, it'll always balance out. You'd say, well, he was blown for steps fairly strong in the first half, and then he missed Davy Fitzgerald's. But I, again, as a forward, I'd say give the attacking man the advantage there.
Yeah, of course he would. Of course he would. The Clare boys are kind of. It was lucky they won, because they were bemoaning the fact that they've had three big kind of black cards in games in the last couple of years, and none of them were clear cut. It's funny you talk about Mullen as well. The shoulder was the big incident everyone was talking about. There was a body slam, WrestleMania-esque, on David McInerney that went totally unnoticed because the ball was still in play. I don't know if he was watching The Rock or Roman Reigns or any of these boys, but it definitely looked like he'd been taking a leaf out of their book. But just quickly, boys, it's been a pretty good league in my view. I think we learned a lot. There was a lot of good games. John, what would be your highlighted league, and maybe a couple of players that you've really kind of gone up in your estimation or firmly in your calculations for championship now as a result of it?
Yeah, I suppose there's a couple of Carl O'Neill mostly the players that made a big impact on the league were all nearly all the Clare newcomers. But yeah, Carl O'Neill was very good for Limerick. I think the return of Alan Connolly scoring a hat trick back to back in both weekends. I like to look this Keane Byrne for Wexford. He was very good. Connor Foley, Shane Murphy was a big plus for Kilkenny. Connor Lean, cornerback for Clare. Even my own county, you know, Waterford, you know, probably didn't go our way, but I thought, you know, the likes of Paddy Levy, I thought he put his hand up for to stake a championship spot. So yeah, there was a couple of lads that kind of put their hand up and to try and stake a claim going into the next couple of weeks. Look, the highlight for me for the league, I mean, was the performances of Dave Fitzgerald. Look, by his standards, going off the last couple of weeks, he was probably, I wouldn't say he was probably below himself, but he still popped up about 1-1-1-2 did he at the weekend? Got one, but
off two or three possessions.
Off two or three possessions, like his performance in the league, he was outstanding. And now the key thing for Davy Fitzgerald, the key thing for Clare is, can he continue that form going into the championship? And if he can, it'll be a massive, massive plus for Clare. Another lad, I think he's had to kind of re-emerge and finding his mojo back again, is Peter Duggan. Another big plus for Clare. But yeah, I thought overall, look, it was a decent league campaign. I thought we got the final that we were hoping we get, albeit it was a slow start after 15 minutes. But you could see what it meant to both managers. You know, they were parading up down that line. They wanted to win that league final the weekend. And yeah, it sets it up nicely for what's to come now in 2 weeks' time.
Eddie, has Mo left you any scraps there?
I think he's
named every up-and-coming player in the country, I'd say.
Gavin Lee of Galway, another
let me something here. It was like what, one day I had a suspicion that I was talking on the Sunday game with Gerlach Nan, and then we went in live and he started making my pints. he's like covering me homework there when I'm making me notes. But no, I think overall probably Fitzgerald's, albeit he quietened out, but still the great players, and I touched on this earlier, he creates, he's willing to pull lads out because he takes market. So therefore you can't leave him maraud around loose because then he'll hurt you. But he actually had an impact on the game that wasn't seen on Saturday. And when he did get those chances, he had the patience
to be able to finish him and the composure, which is the sign of a real quality player. Yeah, and John has mentioned a good few. For me, probably the highlight of the league, I just thought, like, and I've been biased here, I suppose, to a degree, David for the neighbours, but I thought Jake Morris's finishes, like, he finished some brilliant goals. The more than Fitzgerald did too, but I thought Jake Morris, like, there was the one against Clare especially, like, he controlled that on the stick. His footwork completely through Adam Hogan opened up the gap, and he never gives the goalie a chance. Like, he's able to get that beautiful slap on a ball that just flies off the ground. It's impossible for a keeper. So as a forward, I love to see there's been a lot of goals scored this season, and I think he's key to Tip. Going into the championship, I suppose one angle maybe is Waterford, Galway maybe, and you could say Tip, Cork to a lesser extent, I suppose, their silence. So which of those is really going to come? Because someone will. There will always be someone that comes in and has a big, massive impact on the championship. And just them, they've gone away and they're nice and quiet there, whatever. Wexford, obviously, for Kilkenny, coming to Nolan Park is a concern because they're in a good place despite the fact they're finished out of the league. They got a lot out of the league. But it's just going to be which of those, you know, is going to come in under the radar a little bit into the championship and cause a huge... One of them will cause a big, you know, will take down a big scallop. That's where it's going to be interesting for me.
Great stuff, men. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to Eddie Brennan and John Milan for joining me. We'll be back in the near future as championship is around the corner. And in the meantime, don't forget to rate, review and follow the show on Apple, Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Thanks for listening and goodbye.